Good to see everybody out with us this morning. We do have a number of visitors with us. We're so glad to see you here this morning. If you are returning to school, we have many of those who are part of the body here, the family here, who have returned. We're so good to, grateful to see you. We're glad you made it back and had a nice break, but it's wonderful to have you back here with us. We have others who may be here for the first time, or you've been here just a few times, and perhaps you're looking for a church family. We would love to get to know you. We would love to talk to you. Perhaps we could be that family as we work and worship and serve our God together. You know, every now and then, it's good just to kind of get back to the basics. Get back to those things, those topics, and those subjects that most of us know and learned a long time ago, but we always need the reminder, don't we? Because if you don't think about something for an extended period of time, you kind of lose it. You can lose the significance of it. You can lose the reason why you do what you do. So we're going to, about once a month, my plan is to kind of do that, go back to the basics. And I hope as we do that, we are reminded of things so vitally important as we worship and serve our God. In the sermon this morning, we're going to talk about what we've been doing so much of the time this morning. The sermon is entitled, Singing and Making Melody to the Lord with Your Heart. We're going to talk about singing. Singing in worship, singing in praise. Why do we do it? What's the purpose? What's the benefit of it? And when we do it, how ought we to be doing it? What is accomplished for ourselves individually, for each other, and for our God? That's what we want to talk about this morning. But I want to start with this, and you know this, Bible students know this very well. Scripture is filled with examples of God's people singing songs of praise to Him. Exodus 15 comes to mind when Moses bursts out in song after their escape from Egypt. God led them out and he sings in worship and in praise and love and in gratitude for what God has done or had done for them. It is possible that we can sing or see singing in worship to God as early as Genesis 4 and verse 26, where we are told they begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Some believe that is speaking of a more organized manner of worshiping God. And you can certainly see singing being part of that. Whether that is or not, Scripture is filled with examples like this. And you just think about yourself. How often do you just find yourself singing? Doesn't even have to be a hymn. You just find yourself singing a song. In the privacy of your own home, maybe you're one of those people like me, when I'm alone in my car, I'll put on a concert. So people around me aren't staring and laughing. God made us singing people, didn't He? That's what we do. We love to sing. Not every one of us can play an instrument, but we can all sing. You know, a lot of times we like to talk about how, I sound like a bullfrog when I sing. I can't carry a tune. We can all sing, right? To varying levels, and as with everything, some have more skill and talent than others. But it's something that we can all do. And I think it's good to be reminded, brethren, that singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it carries such extraordinary benefits for our soul. But here's the thing. We have to sing them in the correct frame of mind. We have to be thinking correctly when we do them to receive the benefits. And when we do, they are manifold. But what are they? And how might we receive them? Well, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it focuses the mind. It engages the heart in praise. and thanksgiving to God. There are so many examples that we could use from the Psalms. I want to look at just three of them that deal with this specific topic or this point. In Psalm 9 and verse 11, the psalmist says, "Sing praises to the Lord, who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples His deeds." Over in Psalm 30 and verse 4, "Sing praises to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name." Psalm 59 and verse 17 says, "O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows steadfast love." And when you read through the Psalms and you see what the psalmists are saying, you see how engaged they are. They're pouring everything they have into it. All of their mind, they are focused. They're putting their soul into it, their heart into it. And that's what singing praises can do. Singing those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it focuses us. It engages our heart in worship and praise to our God. Remember, we talked about last Lord's Day morning just how good it is for us to praise God. Because when we do that, we are using our soul, we are engaging our soul in the very thing it was created to do. Serve, worship, and praise our God. Our songs can help us do that in a tremendous way. But here's the thing. Only if we let them. Only if we let them. As we sing the songs that Brother Matt picked out this morning, dealing with how we love Jesus Christ, can you remember what we sang? Can you remember the songs? Were you focused as we sang them? For many of us, the songs that Brother Matt chose, these are songs we can sing with our eyes closed, can't we? We don't even need to look at the page. We don't need to look up here at the screen. For many of us, we have heard them all our lives. We have sung them for as long as it was possible we could sing in our lives because of our parents and our grandparents, our family members who brought us to assemblies where they were worshiping and serving God. We know these songs so well, we can sing them with half our heart, half our mind, half our soul tied behind our back. We can sing them and not hear a word of what we're saying. None of it's penetrating. We're not focused in any way upon the words that are coming out of our mouth. We're thinking about lunch. We're thinking about the playoffs. We're thinking about the ball games yesterday. We're thinking about work tomorrow. We're thinking about all sorts of different things, and we don't give any attention to the words that we sing. In fact, when the next song comes up, we couldn't even tell you what we just said. That can happen. That can happen. I'll tell you, brethren, it's happened to me. It's happened to me. Singing and worship and praise to God does so much for us. And when we focus, when we pour our heart, our mind, our soul into it, when we engage, doesn't it just lift you higher? Doesn't it just make your soul sing? Doesn't it inspire your zeal, your love, your gratitude towards God? That's what it ought to do. And my friends, it can do it every single time we sing. Only if we let it. Do you remember Ephesians 5 and verse 19? Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Engage the heart. Put the heart into it. Focus. And when we do, we are made so much better and we are worshiping God acceptably. I want you to pick up your songbooks. We're going to look at a lot of songs this morning. Well, I say a lot, really just a handful of them. I want you to turn over to the 389th song in our book, 389. Sing on, ye joyful pilgrims, 389. I want you to look at the second verse of this song. Sing on, ye joyful pilgrims, while here on earth we stay. Let songs of home and Jesus beguile each fleeting day. Sing on the grand old story of His redeeming love, the everlasting chorus that fills the realms above. Sing on, O blissful music, with every note you raise. My heart is filled with rapture, my soul is lost in praise. I defy you to sing that song without getting enthusiastic about it, without getting fired up, without feeling as though your heart is fully engaged when you consider the words, when you consider what they're talking about, what they're pointing to. Talking about the beautiful singing that will take place above. It's extraordinary, isn't it? It's extraordinary. And when we focus our hearts and we engage our minds, when we sing these worship songs, these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, brethren, we are made better by it. And we are offering acceptable worship and praise to our God. Let's make sure we're doing that. And let's make sure when we sing our songs that we're thinking about one another. Certainly we're thinking about God. All of our worship and our praise is going to Him, as it should. It is His by right. And we should be thinking about our own souls, the condition of our own souls, and focusing upon really engaging our hearts and our minds in doing what we're doing. But we also have to understand that when we sing these songs, they instruct, they admonish, and they aid the brethren. They help us to learn about God and to draw nearer to Him. Do you remember Colossians 3 and verse 16? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. These songs that we sing, they teach. They admonish. They provide instruction. They provide reminders. You know, the songs, they are not meant to encompass an entire doctrinal truth. Things like sanctification and redemption and justification. You think about those. There's not a single song that will encapsulate all of it and explain everything there is to explain. But what it does is reminds us. It gets our hearts and our minds thinking along a certain way. And these songs contain truths that should inspire us to study more deeply, to think more deeply, to pray more often. You think about the subjects of the songs that we sing. This morning, Brother Matt, as we said, he's chosen songs that talk about our love for Christ. Are we not instructed by them? Are we not taught by them and admonished by them? Of course we are. And we sing songs that deal with our God's grace. Are we not made better by singing them and instructed from them? And we sing songs that talk about our dedication to Christ. And there are times, beloved, where some of those words, as I've sung them, I've had to admit, well, Adam, you're not really doing this right now. And I'm admonished by it. And so are you. And so are you. And so, yes, when we sing, we are praising God, but we're also helping one another. Turn over to 105 in your songbooks. 105. There are so many examples that we could look at here. This is a song that I find teaches and admonishes me every time we sing it. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I will not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. You see what these songs do for one another? When we're singing them with everything that we are, when our hearts and our minds are focused upon our God, focused upon one another, and trying to help one another better understand who He is, what He's done, and how to please Him. So I want to encourage you to remember the purpose of our songs and choose ones appropriate to the task. I want to take a moment and speak specifically to the song leaders. We're fortunate here in University Heights to have song leaders who are skilled at what they do, but who also put time into their choice, put effort into it. There are times, we all understand this, where we come to the building and we find that something has happened. There's been a scheduling conflict. Perhaps very late in the day, an individual who was scheduled to lead singing has fallen ill and just didn't have time to get with anybody. And then, you know, 5 minutes before service, you're trying to scramble a little bit. You're trying to find a song leader who can pick out some songs quickly. That happens from time to time, and God knows that happens even more than we do. But I want to encourage you, those of you who are song leaders, if a situation like that doesn't arise, and you know that you're going to be coming here, and it is your task, it is your duty, to choose songs that accomplish the purpose our God has called us to accomplish. And I want to encourage you, don't wait until you get here to the building to do that. Don't use the last 5 or 10 minutes to scramble and try to find some songs that you happen to know how to lead. I want to encourage you to put the same effort, the same thought, the same focus, and the same attention in that. As you do, when you are standing where I am now, when you have a Wednesday evening and you're delivering a talk, or you have a third Sunday night sermon and you prepared that sermon, or you're teaching a Bible class, or you're speaking at the Lord's table, it may not take the same amount of time, but give it the same amount of focus, the same amount of attention, the same amount of effort. Give it the same heart that you give to those other things. Because when we worship and sing praises to our God, it is not a bridge to get from a prayer to the Lord's Supper and then a bridge to get from that to the sermon. It is an integral, vital part of our worship and praise to God. Let's treat it that way. And when we have chosen those songs and the song leader, he has done his duty and he's clearly put thought and time into it and he's focused and he says, we're going to lead them, sing these songs. Let's sing them like we mean it with everything that is in us. Because when we do that, not only are we praising God, beloved, we are teaching and admonishing one another, which is a duty that we have when we sing our praises to our God. Let's make sure that we're doing it. When we're singing these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, it helps us to maintain our spiritual equilibrium, doesn't it? It helps us to do this in times of stress and pain and difficulty and grief. Over in Matthew 26, verses 30 and 31, we read this. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. I wonder how often our Lord sang praises. I wonder how often as he was leading the apostles and the disciples that were following them just on their journeys to the next town, how often he just started singing and they would join in and they're just singing hymns, just singing praise to God, singing songs as they travel and as they journey. But I want you to consider this specific time. Jesus quoted there from the Old Testament prophets, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. For our Lord, that striking of the shepherd was no longer something that was coming in the distant future. It was time. The shepherd was going to be struck. That was him. And I have no doubt, every single time our Lord sang in praise to God, his heart and mind were fully engaged always. But don't you suspect this evening, this particular night, perhaps the hymn hit him even a little bit more, knowing what was just about to come? We remember the prayer, right, there in the garden. Let this cup pass from me. Our Lord knew wholeheartedly, he knew fully what was just about to happen. And one of the last things he did before it did happen was sing a hymn. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and when we get there, we're going to read verses 22 through 25. Acts 16, 22 through 25. Paul and Silas are in Philippi now, and the crowd has joined in attacking them. Verse 22 says, the crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, I want you to think about the situation that Paul and Silas are in. Physically, it is not a good situation. Physically, their bodies are beaten. They are bloody. They are bruised. They are lacerated. They are placed in stocks, so they are not in a comfortable position, even if they hadn't been beaten, but they had been. That's where those men were. And they were in an environment where men curse and weep and cry out for mercy. And they were singing hymns to their God. We're not given any indication that their faith had wavered, that their trust had kind of fallen to the side, or that they were in any dire straits spiritually at this point. But I'll tell you what, if they were, doing what they did would help that spiritual equilibrium to get back where it needed to be, wouldn't it? Jesus sang a hymn right before his arrest. Paul and Silas sang hymns while they were beaten and bloodied and bruised and pain-racked there in prison. And beloved, it's times like those times of great stress and pain and grief and sorrow and whatever it might be, it's those times that desperately require those reminders of our God's love and grace. Because I'll tell you what our songs do, and you've probably seen this yourself. They are course correctors, aren't they? Because sometimes we get a little off course, and the words of a song that we'll start to sing, or we'll think about it in our mind, it snaps us right back. It gets us right back to where we need to be. There is one for me, 223, beloved, that is a wonderful song in that it helps me in this way every single time I think of it, and I think of it often. It is Peace, Perfect Peace. Very short song, very easy to memorize, very meaningful. Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace. By thronging duties pressed, to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace. With sorrow surging round, on Jesus' bosom, not but calm is found. Have you ever noticed all three of those verses, the first line is a question? Have you ever really noticed that? It's like, can you really have peace in this dark world of sin? Is it even possible to have peace when duties are pressing you constantly? Can you really have peace with sorrow surging all around? Yes. Yes. Not just peace, but perfect peace. Because of our Lord and what He's done. That is a song that corrects my course in times of difficulty. Jesus, draw me ever nearer is another. Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I'll follow though I'm worn. Jesus, guide me through the tempest. Keep my spirit stayed and sure. When the midnight meets the morning, let me love you even more. Let the treasures of the trial form within me as I go. At the end of this long passage, let me leave them at your throne. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith at the end of my heart's testing. With your likeness, let me wait. And those times do come, don't they? Those times come. And we don't always know why they've come. And we may go to God in prayer and ask Him that very question. We don't know why they've come. We don't know why we're in that pain-filled moment. We don't know how long it's going to last. But then you think of a song like that, that says, Lord, I may not know why I've reached this point and why I'm being asked to go through this tempest, but you've led me to it. And I am worn. But I'm going to follow you still. And though it's difficult for me as I'm going through it to see any treasures in this trial at all, I know they're there. Be with me, Lord. Give me strength. Give me faith. And when I come to the end, I pray I'm more like you than when I went in.
See what these songs are able to do, beloved? How they can correct us when we get a little sideways. How they can restore that equilibrium when we've lost our spiritual balance and our moorings. They get us back. And praise God that they do. Make sure that we sing them with all of our hearts. And there's one more point that I want to make this morning. We could do this, I'm sure, all day long. There is one more point that I want to make. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs brings us into close union with those saints who have gone before, and it prepares us for heaven. In the first part of Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Paul and Silas were singing hymns there as they sat in a prison. They were doing precisely what you and I are doing right now. They were in a different spot when they did it, but they were doing it. When our Lord led his apostles to the Garden of Gethsemane and sang a hymn, we are doing right now precisely what they did. You see that? David, the great psalmist of Israel, raised his voice to praise God so often. We are doing precisely what he did. When they crossed the sea, Moses lifted up his voice in praise to God. We are doing precisely what he did. The day is coming. And I want you to do your best to imagine. Imagine what it's going to sound like when all of God's singers have surrounded his throne and every single soul raises its voice in song to God. Turn your songbooks to 232. 232. When all of God's singers get home. This is a tough one for me to sing because of certain family members who love to sing and have passed on. But I can read the words without tearing up, I think. I just can't sing them. Listen to this. What a song of delight in that city so bright will be wafted neath heaven's fair dome. How the ransomed will raise happy songs in his praise when all of God's singers get home. As we sing here on earth songs of sadness or mirth, 'tis a foretaste of rapture to come. But our joy can't compare with the glory up there when all of God's singers get home. Having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen, will be heard in that land o'er the foam. Every heart will be light and each face will be bright when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow or heartache will come, there'll be no place like heaven, my home. When all of God's singers get home. I told you a story. I can't read those words without tearing up, apparently. Think about it. Think about those family members who you knew to be faithful saints, as far as it's possible for us to know, who have passed on. Think about Paul, Peter, James and John, David, Elijah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. They're all going to be there around that throne. And so too will we. And when all of God's singers get home, what a sound that's going to make.
And what we're doing here, what we're just about to do with the song Brother Matt has selected, is a foretaste. Just a little sample of what's going to be coming. I hope that the sermon this morning has been a good reminder of just how important what we're doing, we lift our voices to God in song, how important it is. I hope it's a reminder that we are praising Him. Do it with all of our hearts and our soul. We are teaching and admonishing one another, making each other better. Can help us to restore and recover our balance when we've gone a little sideways. And it's just a little taste of what's coming when we stand around the throne. We may have some here this morning who are not Christians. And if that's the case, you have an opportunity now to render your obedience to Jesus Christ. I pray that if you truly believe, you would do that. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus as Lord. And be immersed in water, contacting that cleansing blood, putting Him on. All things are ready. The only question is, are you? And if the answer is yes, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.